The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great
Exhibit
wrestling discussion.
Excuse me! Muchos gracias, amigos. Didn't know I spoke Mexican, did you? Ladies and gentlemen, I guess we all know what I am. I am Network. I am the man who brings you Roller Jack.
Jim, what in the hell are you doing?
Wait a minute, whoa, what? Jason, what are you, first of all, what are you doing here? Second, what's wrong? What's wrong, Jason?
Okay, look, I'm asking you, didn't you hear the question? What the hell are you doing?
What am I doing? Come on, you've listened to the show how long now? This is the open for the show. I'm producing the open for the show.
Okay, look, you know I produce this show with you. I know it's the open, but what are you doing? What was that last 40 seconds all about?
Come on, you know what it's all about? The network! It's all about the network! Nikki said she wanted the network in the open this week, and you know me, I'm never one to ignore her requests, so...
Okay, yeah, I know you want, you know, to make nice with Nikki and all that, but she didn't mean that network. She meant the network, as in the WWE network. You know that little, massive thing that debuted this past Monday, you know, little press thing, you know, all that stuff. Why don't you actually play a clip from something that was on the network? Look, I got an idea.
Okay. I got this. Try this out for size.
Thank you very much. You've seen the intensity of the matches here tonight, and I expect the same thing is going to happen in this fourth quarter match.
You say something, Gino, and you out here talking about a click. The only click you need to know about is the Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry. See, because what you're dealing with here is the brotherhood. It's nonstop from this point on in WCW. We take what we want, and after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Yeah!
I go away for 1 week, and I swear this place comes apart. Ugh. Then again, I know that more than 6 people are listening to our show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the network debut edition of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and let's see who's around the table. Ah, yes. Down in the semi-sunny sunshine state, Mr. Chris Waters.
Okay, come on, Sting. You can be... Oh, hi, sorry. I was watching Great American Bash 1990. What's going on here?
We got a show going on here. Pay attention. Pay attention.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll get back to the show. Here.
All right. Now, we also have at the table a technician much better than the ones that are at the network, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Who in their right mind decided to put me in the muffin room last week? I was supposed to be here... And that happened. Why?
You're going to have to talk to VRM. And like I said, I wasn't...
I am going to have some words with VRM. Long words.
I wasn't here, so I'm not sure what happened. I was too busy yelling at Dish Network. Oh, I'm sorry. And our fourth at the table. Fourth.
This past Thursday, a whole lot of fans got to see Bo Dallas get the comeuppance they were waiting for since the Barrett Garage.
And I just got one other thing. Our engineer tonight, Jason, what the hell? You're not supposed to leave the recorder going when you guys are putting the intro together?
You were saying? Yeah, about that. You're the host. I'm the worker. I'm sorry.
It's all good. I'll talk to Jim about this later, and he will be assaulted with ponies. Now, step aside. And let's talk some pay-per-view.
Talk to you later.
Yeah. Now, I do apologize, gentlemen, but Dish Network had really utterly pissed me off, the fact that they decided that they didn't want to show the pay-per-view. So, despite the fact that I already spent a ridiculous amount of money to go see it in live and in person, I was still willing to throw another $30-$40 at them to say, hey, I want to record this for posterity. Did any of you guys watch it, or could you watch it? I guess would be the better question.
Nope. Sorry, war comes first.
Same here.
I didn't get to watch it, so I don't know if Verizon still had it on Fios.
Okay. Well, I'll share my experience at least. As I had mentioned on a previous show, I got to go to the Double Secret pre-sale and got chair seats for this event, and went with a local friend of mine, and we had an absolute blast. We were sitting behind the announce position, and just further back from that section is where they set up the pre-show panel set. So yes, we were the ones chanting sexual chocolate during the pre-show.
Magnificent.
There was also a Miz Got Married chant, and I didn't understand that one. I know I know that him and Maurice just recently tied the knot, but I was like, how is that insulting?
Probably wasn't. It was more like a congratulations.
That's true. This show was quite good despite the predictability.
Milkman, the end of evening TV.
What's that?
The Milkman, the Paperboy, evening TV.
Yeah.
Everywhere you look, everywhere is a hot.
But yeah, it was a very predictable show, but it was a lot of fun. For those of you who want to watch by any means necessary, go find the Wyatt's Shield match from this show.
Oh, shiggity.
No, Statboy, you want to know how good this match was?
I've heard. Oh, God, I've heard.
We were chanting "This is awesome" before the bell rang.
Yep. Mainly because you guys wanted to see them get it on, and by God, you got to see them get it on.
The only thing was missing was the chamber coming down. That was the only thing that was missing from this match. It was just mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. And made up for the snooze fest that was Batista Del Rio.
That's because everybody and their mother knew what was coming.
Right. Not to mention...
For the first time, Del Rio was actually treated as a face.
Well, the crowd was back in Del Rio, and that was amusing in itself. We got the bonus match, I don't know if you want to call it that, with AJ versus Cameron. Get well soon, Naomi.
Ah!
Yeah. We had we had some Bautista going on, for sure. Mm-hmm. And the chamber itself was a whole lot of fun. Wrong guy won, or did he?
After watching the end of the pay-per-view on some other videos and seeing the crowd reaction, either this is a really well done, albeit very confusing work, or they're trying for a pooper this year.
I stand by my thing, and I can, Jason doesn't even have to unmute, I can already hear him screaming, that they are going to find a way to have Bryan triumph at Mania. This is essentially something that was done 10 years ago and can be done again.
Plus, they already have somebody who can cause an out for that with somebody who returned on Monday, but we'll get back to him later.
We will get back to him. Now, Stepway, I have the spreadsheet in front of me in case you don't, if you don't have yours handy.
Of course I do.
All right, then let's run through the scores real quick.
All right, in dead last, and I just don't mean by a little, I mean by a epic crap ton. Derpy, I mean Ethan Muslin, 2.5. How Dale. The hell do you manage that? Oh, wait, that's right, because he had Bryan winning the chamber and Cena last eliminated. Oopsie.
What? What was he on when he was doing this?
Cocaine! Or whatever the pony equivalent is.
Breezy was drinking dust. drinking liquid rainbow, I think.
Yeah, that was yes. the breezy dust, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Right.
2.5 points. How? I'm still confused. In next to last place, but to be honest, they did infinitely better. Chris Waters in fourth. Finished both with 6 points. Sorry, guys.
No more title for me.
Yeah. Shane finished just ahead of you with 7. Jason just ahead of Shane with 7.5. Nikki, Carl, and Tyler all finished with 8 points. Then myself and VRM finished tied for 4th with 9. Jim and DJ finished tied for 2nd. And had neither one flushed, we would have probably have a 3-way for the title. Jim, DJ, if you're hearing this, why are you so stupid? Flushing never works. But because of that, your winner and new NAWC Fizzleweight Champion of the World with 10 points, Gene fucking Aguilera. Now that's a pair of blue jeans. So Gene, ew for the fucking, and then a picture of Christina Aguilera. Why is there a group? Never mind. That's Gene effing Aguilera. Yeah.
And we're never going to hear the end of it, gentlemen.
Never.
Is he going to rename the belt the FTW belt now?
Don't give him ideas!
Survive if I let you? What?
Give it an orange strap instead of the black strap.
Actually, that'd be kind of cool. Footnote from the chamber, and just a personal story that I wanted to pass along. The post-chamber festivities for myself and several other super fans culminated in the bowels of the Target Center. You guys have seen what I had changed my profile pic. Mm-hmm. And surrounding me includes Chicago's own Frankie the Clown, Indiana's WWE's biggest fan, starring on the 50 Years of WWE DVD, by the way, go buy it.
Oh, wow.
The guy directly behind me in the snow coat, you guys might know him on Twitter as @BTuckerTorch.
Oh, he is from Pro Wrestling Torch, then.
Yes, and he's also part of the Tucker family. He and his parents attend shows together. His parents had travel issues, otherwise they'd be in this picture, too. Directly in front of me, the Brock Lesnar fan. And those of us who are sitting down are sitting in our pay-per-view chairs. Thank you very much.
Nice.
So, yes, this is something that I swore that I was going to do because I am still kicking myself for not doing this when I was in St. Louis, where I could have had all of these guys plus the sign guys. Rick.
Wait a minute, there's more than one?
Well, there's Palette Swap sign guy, but I haven't seen him at a show in a while.
Okay.
But I would have had Rick. I would have had Ben's parents. And I would have had two or three other people, and we probably could have gotten a ref to take the picture.
And then what about the oh dear God, the Windbreaker people?
Oh,
you know
the
ones I'm talking.
Mr. and Mrs. Neon only do shows in Ohio anymore.
Oh, I'm guessing they're getting up there in years.
There was one other super fan that I might run into down the line. I believe he's listed on here as Dime Knight. He wears a pullover that's done up in Ireland colors, and he wears the Seamus hair.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. He was at the show, too, but we missed him, or he'd have been in this picture. But he wanted to be in Chicago next week. He's doing the Moline House show on Sunday, weather permitting. But that's a whole nother story. Let's see. As mentioned in the intro, we had the Monday morning was the launch of the WWE Network, and it went something like this. Or at least, you know, for some people, it just flat out did not work. Now, Stepboy, did yours work when you got started?
Not immediately. It took until Wednesday to get it fully up and running, but when it was fully up and running, oh, yes.
Okay, you ran into the same kind of stuff I did. Chris, did you do the trial, or have you been messing with it at all? Chris?
My currently underwater.
Conversation was blipping a little bit back and forth. What was the question again?
Had you had a chance to play work with the network?
Yes, but not when it was immediately launched. I have watched stuff since then, and it works on everything except my 360, but apparently everybody's having a problem with the 360 version.
Okay. Fourth, how about you? How's yours working?
I actually haven't gotten it yet, but I'm actually going to get it sometime next week, so I hope to see how it works then.
You'll probably have a lot better luck than Stapboy and I did, because the first day I couldn't get it to work on anything. Tuesday, I could get the ratings screen, and that's it. Wednesday night, I was able to finally get it to run on my laptop, and Thursday, I finally got it going on my desktop, despite a lot of trial and tribulation and appropriate use of CC Cleaner to clean up the mess that I originally put on my computer Monday night, Stapboy.
I still remember that. That made me have a brain aneurysm.
So, yeah, but you already know how I look in front of a computer sometime.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex. I could pinch them.
What? Just okay. The fact that there are some days where you just feel like you're sitting there punching, you know, punching buttons with one finger and nothing's happening. Anyway.
Yeah. Then again, so, I had a little bit better chances than you.
How so?
On Monday, after I put in my money stuff, it started working decently well. There was still some hang-ups. Same deal on Tuesday. I could get to about, say, a few minutes into a show, and then it would stop. But from what I've heard, it seems to be going a lot better than Monday.
Yeah. And despite Austin's promise of unedited content, I've actually been paying attention, and you as a moderator, Stapboy, have probably seen this thread. that there are edits out there.
Yes, there are few and far between, but still, they do dang well exist, unfortunately.
Well, it's little things, because, you know, I only mentioned one in particular, because, as I said, there were specific things I was going to go look for once my network was working. And yes, I pulled up Backlash 04, and despite a whole lot of stuttery stops and starts, it was completely intact.
Mm-hmm. Same deal with the rather infamous, I believe, Judgment Day 04, was it? The one where Eddie bled a geyser?
Yeah, but they gave that one a TVMA, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yes, they did.
One of the other ones I pulled up, I did find an edit. And I think it's just because they kept what I will call the DVD cut of Bad Blood 2004.
Hmm.
It's just a stupid little thing, so I can understand. Essentially, the match was Randy Orton versus Shelton Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Randy was the Intercontinental Champion at the time, and he cut this promo that he started in the back, and he walked around past our section. That's not why I was watching this. For him to get in the ring, and he makes a statement along the lines of, "Take a look at greatness!" And he jumps up on the middle rope and slips.
And hopefully once they get to posting old NXT, they'll be, you know, featuring Matt Hardy's
Curtis Axel.
Oh god, the Genesis of McGillicuddy.
So anyway, Orton slipping on the ropes was covered with a camera cut to the crowd, but you still hear us laughing. So
deservedly,
it's little
so.
Things. Deservedly, well, it's Randy Orton. There's always a reason to laugh at him, and I just didn't realize that, you know, he was so sloppy that night at getting himself prepared for the match. And had it stuck on his boots.
Yeah, the funny thing about the network is... Oh, go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say, I wasn't going to say anything, but I was waiting to hear that as soon as I heard the words Randy Orton and slips.
But speaking about cuts for the network, apparently there is somebody that's being cut, and it's not a certain Canadian that we all thought it was going to be.
Oh. No, and they went ahead and took care of that. In the case of the Canadian who is otherwise remains nameless to the world public at large, they were ready for that, and they put together the disclaimer, and I have it right here, and I will read it verbatim. Just for the record, though, I have yet to see it.
It
and
might
I
be on the WCW
Jason.
Stuff alone.
Okay, I wasn't
sure. No, it's
sure
not. It's not on the WCW stuff because I watched some of Starrcade 1995, and he's in the first match, and they did not have the disclaimer on there.
Huh.
Because I didn't see it when I pulled up Backlash 04, and I let the opening play. I wasn't going to watch Shelton Benjamin versus Ric Flair, but... I did not get the disclaimer, and I joked to Jason that my computers already knew that I didn't need the warning. So, stupid soundboard. Anyway, but the disclaimer reads, for those who have yet to see it, the following program is presented in its original form. It may contain some content that does not reflect WWE's corporate views and may not be suitable for all viewers. WWE characters are fictitious and do not reflect the personal lives of the actors portraying them. Viewer discretion is advised. You can block access to this program and others like it using the parental control feature in your WWE Network account settings.
I did see that disclaimer, but I did not see it on a Benoit pay-per-view. I was loading up some Survivor Series 1993, and they actually had that on there for some reason.
Hmm. But yeah, I didn't see it for Backlash 04. Luger? No, that's not nice. But this apparently, you know, covers their bases when it comes to Benoit, when it comes to, I want to say Pillman, but that's not probably not the right way to go, the right direction to go. But kind of a CYA.
Probably guys,
and this seems to... Go ahead.
As I say, probably guys like New Jack who are really vocal and putting it nicely, very vocal, away from the ring.
Well, see, that's the thing. New Jack is the one that's actually getting blocked, censured, edited.
Oh, wow.
Even Scott Steiner's allowed to stick around. But apparently New Jack, they just don't want anything to do with.
Either that or it's a problem with his theme playing throughout whenever he had a match. So, I mean, it's not impossible, but it is tricky to edit that out.
That's true. Now, see, that's one of the edits that we were expecting, and so far this has come to fruition. A lot of music is edited. I've heard that the original One Night Stand, you do not hear Enter Sandman.
No,
which is a shame, because that is that's the best part of that whole moment.
I think maybe 17 still has gold.
Well, Fred Durst, never mind. I could make a joke. And as you heard in our intro, they were even willing to leave a certain WCW promo uncensored, which is pretty much the first thing that Matthew dug up to make sure the network was uncensored.
And that, of course, is the one you heard at the top of the show.
Precisely. And
am I right?
You know, that does not reflect our... Yeah, that doesn't reflect our views either, but it's still funny. It's still funny, and if you find that offensive, I think you're just being too sensitive.
Sherry's face after that was just priceless. Sherry's face that she made was priceless.
Booker's talked about that, and apparently Hogan didn't mind it either. So.
No, they're from a different time. They're from a different generation. It's just standard vernacular, and I could go into further detail about that, but I don't feel like getting kicked off my own show. But you mentioned Hogan, so I'm going to use that as a segue. Man, for a guy who wanted to try to take down the machine that was WWE by trying to use TNA, sure came back quick, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they say, money talks, and, well, you know what walks.
True. He came out to a rousing round of applause anyway. And announced that he would be hosting Mania, which is corporate for he didn't pass wellness. We're worried that he's just going to collapse into P. He's going to break like an action figure if he tries to drop the leg on anybody. Now
we say that
they did this with The Rock.
Now we say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We say that now. And then a few years from now, he's going to win the title again. No, hopefully not.
Again, please do not give them ideas. But we had this a couple of years ago with The Rock, and I thought that went over like a fart in church.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, Stat Boy, that Hogan can keep his ego in check so that we don't have to deal with him all, you know, all night through the course of Mania?
Are you serious? He ain't gonna keep anything in check, brother. Nothing at all, Jack.
It's worth asking. The only stupid question is one not asked.
Yeah.
And besides, I don't think they would have. I don't know if they would have room for him anyway, because they're trying to. They've already got a card. You know, they're already building a pretty good card here. Orton Batista notwithstanding. Mm-hmm. As the rumored Wyatt's and Cena thing has gone underway. And we had a scary moment during Raw where when the Wyatts pounced on Cena, there was a part where Rowan got a hold of Cena's legs and tried to pick him up. And things kind of broke down real quick. Mm-hmm. Cena was then helped to the back with a supposed knee injury, loaded up in an ambulance, and sent on his way. Chris, did you believe it initially?
Initially, I did, because I think they posted a picture from backstage about his knee, but now I'm thinking they were just building it. But it was like, I could almost hear, if that did happen, Vince filling his Depends up in the back, pretty much.
Yeah. Stepboy, same question.
At first, yeah, I thought it was real. It's like, oh dear, this is not good, especially if it's the magic three letters, A-C-L. I'm sorry if I stole your thunder. You know who I'm talking to.
No, you're fine. Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I was worried at first, but now, yeah. Forth, go ahead.
Anything I know is working. Go ahead, Forth.
I was initially worried, but as soon as I found out that, you know, it's part of the story, I'm like, okay, this is probably good. Otherwise, I could actually hear the dump truck backed up to Punk Manor.
Which is what I figured, I thought would happen if this was indeed a legitimate injury. But if Cena was hurt, they just went ahead and blew it completely out of proportion to give us a nice little scare. So, this little knee injury brought to you by
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work. Thankfully.
So those of you who have tickets to the for those of you who have tickets to the Moline House show, don't worry, he'll be there. You've been warned. Let's see. We're starting, you know, we've already talked a lot about, you know, seeing cracks in the Shield. So I'm hoping that the card might give us Ambrose versus Reigns for the U.S. title.
There's always
hope. That would definitely be awesome.
We also know that the real Americans are starting to fall apart.
And that'll be interesting as all get out.
Well, at least we know which one's Sean and which one's Marty.
Yeah. And Marty better not be Swiss.
No, Marty ain't Swiss.
Thank God.
Marty has a problem with his promos sometimes. Now, one of the fun buildups we're having is with Brian, and with Punk deciding to bail, they've essentially kind of molded Brian's storyline into what Punk was probably going to end up doing, and that was literally raging against the machine, which is what Brian did on Monday, confronting Triple H and demanding a match with him. And Hunter just kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, I'll find a place for you on the card. Don't worry.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
And he's so good at it.
Yeah.
So, But as we as predicted on this show, Bryan got to have his match with Kane. This was going to happen on Raw because it's important to the storyline. Don't get me wrong, but this is not Mania important. Mm-hmm. So, Statboy, do you think that it will end up being Bryan directly versus Triple H at Mania?
So far, from what I'm paying attention to, the answer is looking to be a yes. And I'm okay with this. And to be honest with you, I'm actually silently thankful that Punk did leave. Mainly because, well, Punk kind of freed up Triple H for Bryan. Because otherwise, Bryan would have been given an absolute crap match with Sheamus. And while that might have been important to the last two WrestleManias, it isn't important at all to the current storyline.
Chris, your thoughts on this?
Sorry about that. Pretty much I'm seeing that they can have Bryan Triple H pretty much straight up. But this is where the Hogan factor comes in, because he is the host of WrestleMania. And because of things we've seen built up over the past few days, including especially SmackDown this past Friday with Batista, I'm thinking it's going to be something a little more than just Bryan just beating up Triple H and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know where you're going with that. Because Bryan is not adverse to working more than once in an evening.
Exactly.
So let's try this on for size, because I think this is where you're going, Chris. Bryan faces Triple H in an early match on the WrestleMania card. If Bryan beats Hunter, they'll put him in the Mania match with Orton and Batista.
Yes.
And, go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say, given how they probably don't want fans throwing stuff during the main event, that's probably how it is going to have to be.
Well, I think it's more they don't want people leaving. Because they'll deal with people throwing stuff. Then again, only one fan threw something at the chamber, and I was told that he was hauled off in handcuffs. Somebody actually saw the fan who threw it and watched him get busted. So we're hoping it's not going to turn into that. And I'll tell you what, if Orton Batista is the sole main event, people are going to get a jump on traffic.
Yeah, and you're also going to hear that thing booed out of the building.
Oh yeah,
before the match happens.
It will almost be as bad as the Goldberg-Lesnar debacle in New York. God.
If not worse.
I will say, if you're listening, Carl, if that is the match, it is your duty as a fan to get in on the shaming of this match.
Please. And you've got the voice. Your voice would carry, because you've got a deep enough voice. You would boo loud enough. We'd hear you.
Here's a way to plug the network. You want to picture what it's going to be like to see if it was just Orton and Batista? Look up Great American Bash 1991 and look up the Lex Luger-Barry Windham main event when everybody is chanting, "We want Flair."
Because
this is after he left for WWF at the time. So.
Yeah, and this is where a snarkier crowd would start chanting CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, "We want divas and we want refunds." Hello.
Oh.
Speaking of refunds, can we get a refund on the general manager's computer?
Well, it depends. What's he got, Josh?
May I have your attention, please? I have just received an email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my Nokia Lumia icon.
Ooh. Let's have a look at this wonderful little device.
Yes, it might be a Windows phone, but that camera Damn.
Ooh, that is pretty. Let me play with that for a second. Let's see what the GM's got to say. Scroll. I know you have not used your Twitter very much, but you might want to start for leading up to the Chicago Raw. Please follow at Chicago Raw Crowd for the coordinated effort of the total dismantling of this Monday night show.
Oh, no.
They want to make it a coordinated effort, and they're trying to keep it from turning into a bunch of fans trying to get themselves over just to get the message across that what has been booked so far is not to the fans' interest. Or, in other words, not what's best for business. Ha ha ha. Let's see. There's still one match you haven't talked about on the Mania card, and good thing you have Chris on the show because he's going to help you brag a little bit about Arrival.
Yes.
Well, yes. Yes, he is. But before we do that, I think this is a good place to pause. So, gentlemen, the restrooms are unlocked and the vending machines are plugged in. I'll have Jason queue up a couple commercials and not the pee pad. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
On the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Chris Waters, Stepboy Josh Henniger, and Forth. Now, as we were talking about the fact that we are, yes, formally on the road to WrestleMania, and what is WrestleMania without The Undertaker? One before, what was it, like 7 or 8?
It would also be WrestleMania 10 and 16, but...
True, very true. And this is going to sound strange coming from me, but the Dead Man's Streak is now being shown to the Beast, Brock Lesnar.
And I just want to say, given how Taker looked a few weeks ago to now, I think he's the villain from Big Trouble in Little China, so Brock Lesnar has a true challenge ahead of him.
Yeah. I just, you know, this is going to need some build for me because, you know, I dig The Undertaker, you guys all know that. Brock, I have no choice, knowing his advocate very well. I'm having trouble getting into it.
I'm only having trouble getting into it because I still wanted Undertaker Cena for WrestleMania, but I think if with the right build to it, they can make this pretty good right here.
I mean, they're gonna have to go some to top the Punk Undertaker stuff they did last year, because that was amazing, and I compared that also to Undertaker Edge, where you get to that one point in the feud that, oh my God, you are so dead. Undertaker is going to do much worse to you. But I mean, this is something that probably should have happened a couple of years before then. If they had been able to twist Brock's arm into coming back sooner, they could have pulled this right after the UFC incident, which is still stuck in the back of my head, Stat Boy.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just don't have anything else there. You just could say mm-hmm.
No, you're fine. I will, you know, points for theatrics. As always, the dead man knows how to make an entrance.
And points on that goatee.
The goatee, which is actually seems to be a callback, Chris.
Yep, it's the callback to the Ministry days. Hopefully he wrestles better than he did back then, but still, it's nice to see that again. And he looked damn evil with the shaved head and the Ministry beard, and the wide eyes.
And the scale armor coat. Actually, yeah. I think that is one of his older coats. That might have even been a Ministry era coat.
Could be. I'd have to look it up there. The only Ministry outfit I really remember is his WrestleMania 15 one, where he had the long cape with the shoulder pads and looked like armor or something.
That's why, I want you, if you could double check that for me, Chris, you don't have to do that right now. But,
right.
You know, I guess it's, like I said, I just need I need a little bit more. Although we are off to a very good start with the signing of the contract and Lesnar going through a table.
Mm-hmm. And Undertaker trying to kill Lesnar's hand with a pen.
That was so bad it was good. That was so bad it was good. So I can't complain. I won't complain about that. But like I said, I'm gonna need a little bit more with the build.
Basically, need Lesnar to do something to have Taker say one thing.
Exactly. Because Taker didn't say anything for this contract thing, but he's kind of turned that into a shtick. And then eventually, yes, Brock or my dear Uncle Paul are going to do something that's finally going to make him speak up.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
And if I had the clip, I'd play it. You want to go?
The thing about this, though, is if they wanted to, they could actually use some history, because looking back at the past Lesnar-Taker stuff from back in, like, 2002, I believe it was, and some in 2003, Undertaker has never beaten Lesnar, if I remember correctly. They had the draw in their first match, and Lesnar just tossed him around in the Hell in the Cell.
God, and that was one of the bloodiest matches. I guarantee you the network is TVMA'd that.
Probably.
You think, this is worse than the Eddie Guerrero gusher from Judgment Day, in my personal opinion. Undertaker's face was dripping blood. It was Cactus Jack level gory. Broken Muda meter shit.
That's what I was just about to say.
Actually, Muda. Segway! Anyway.
Ah, yes!
It is now time for us to do our mandatory discussion of TNA. Although it sounds like I need to talk more about TNA, Stat Boy.
Yeah, from what I've been paying attention to for the last, about, say, 2 or 3 months after Bischoff and Hogan were shown the door, as well as I think Russo, but I'm not fully sure about that, things have steadily improved in TNA. There are storylines. Good storylines.
And the they found some way to make Dixie Carter watchable.
Yeah.
Though playing off somebody as good on the mic as MVP is probably helping her tremendously.
Yeah. Indubitably.
And I understand that, you know, he is a fighting investor. That he's had a couple of matches, including one with Bobby Roode, that I probably need to go look up.
I will warn you, you will see a callback to one very classic desk referee attire.
Oh, no.
What, the blue shirt with the bow tie?
No.
A double channels a certain heartbreaker.
Oh, my... Ah! That didn't even look right on Sean. Refs do not wear booty shorts.
Mickey? I don't think it was even a booty shorts. I think it was less.
Nikki, I think we need something from the Clorox brand, if you know what I mean.
Anybody else need some? Because I'm planning on pouring quite a bit here.
Go ahead.
Don't mind if I do. Brain bleach! Seriously. It's sad when I can think of a better sight of a referee in red track pants than Shawn Michaels walking around in booty shorts. I'm not allowed to tell the rest of that story.
Oh,
at least not on the air. I will tell it later. Anyway. What else was I going to talk about? Oh, yes. We had a Rey Mysterio sighting on, I believe it was on, did he work Monday?
Don't think so.
Okay, maybe it was just the fact that, you know, we did see that he was hurt. Okay, he worked the Raw pre-show, but he had also looked like he'd hurt himself pretty bad the week before. The word is starting to go around that Rey is finally listening to his knees. That we will probably not see him in the ring anymore.
Thank God.
And really, nothing against Rey. But he's been doing this for 20 plus years.
Debuted in 1989 at the age of what, 14, 15?
15.
Yeah.
I read a story in, I think it's Rumble Road, where he would tell stories that, you know, he would wrestle in bars and he'd have to go there in his mask and not say anything to anybody because he wasn't supposed to be in there because he wasn't of age. But the fact that he has gone through so many surgeries on both of his knees, and the fact that they're being held together with duct tape and prayer.
If they want to keep selling the Rey masks, the replica masks, they could sign, I think it's his cousin who's wrestling in Mexico.
Yep, the original Rey Mysterio's son, El Hijo del Rey Mysterio.
Which, you know, somebody call Hunter and let him know about that, because I know they would love to keep having that money coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Rey could still be an asset to the company. He's an okay talker, so he would be good for, you know, Spanish, you know, Spanish language segments. I realize they're not going to bring back 28 Segundos, but rotate him and Ricardo in and out from the Spanish announce table for pay-per-views.
That'd work.
Yeah.
Just make a team of him and Ricardo, for crying out loud.
Actually, that'd be kind of fun and funny.
Yeah, they could be like the Hispanic version of Gorilla and Jesse, only a lot smaller. But
yeah.
The problem is who would be the more forceful opinion, because Rey doesn't get aggressive, he just gets assertive, and Ricardo. Ricardo's Ricardo. You're right. There really isn't any way to. He's Eddie Munster, all grown up. Anyway, I will continue to contend that, and I know he would take that as a compliment.
Eduardo Munster, come on.
Yes. Eduardo. The one little bit of bad news we have out there, Jake Roberts made the announcement that he has cancer.
Yep, and it's already been removed. Hopefully he's making a full recovery now.
Let's just hope that, you know, it's been taken care of and he will be cancer-free. So what did they do, Stat Boy? Did he just have a cobra bite him there?
Wouldn't surprise me, but who knows? It's just something, if our memory serves, the doctor's never seen before. And it was pretty much an inpatient an outpatient procedure. He had it removed, and by the end of the day, he was already out.
Nice. That's a good thing. And go ahead, Forrest.
I was going to say, he's already beating the addictions. I think that that one particular C word should get a beating just the same.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if Piper can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That was something else. I understand last week's show you guys talked about the passing of Nelson Frazier Jr., a.k.a. Viscera, Big Daddy V, King Mabel, you know, whichever you remember him by. I'm sorry that I never got the chance to meet him. But his wife is not a happy camper.
To say the least.
With WWE and TMZ. And I can understand why she's mad at TMZ. I'm not going to read this entire tirade, but essentially her complaints, you know, she insinuates that there's a lot of shady stuff going on in the WWE. And to that, I, you know, no offense to her, but my answer to that is,
well, duh.
It's the wrestling business.
Yeah.
TMZ, she has every right to be angry at, because they claimed, they apparently reported that they had interviewed her, and she was not interviewed. Uh-oh. So, you know, it's already bad enough that TMZ is a glorified dirt sheet for Hollywood. This is not going to help their image none. But, you know, Just you gotta be careful though, you know, writing all this stuff out, especially the way she wrote it.
Didn't she say somewhere in there she was kind of upset he didn't get a tribute show, or am I hearing hearsay about that?
That's more hearsay, because they did give him a tribute screen on Main Event and SmackDown.
Yeah, and Superstars, but nobody watches Superstars but me.
Well, and I'm not belittling Superstars, but the fact that that's what they've done for most wrestlers, the only reason that Owen and Eddie got complete tribute shows for them was that they were active performers when we lost them.
That, and they were a lot more integral in the storylines and a lot more, well, bigger, if you know what I mean.
Well, they were... You know, nothing against Viz, but, you know, it would, like I said, Viz wasn't working for the company at the time, and the fact that they acknowledged it is good enough for me. I mean, I'm not close enough to the Frazier family really to comment, but, you know, his wife just tore it up.
And at least he got a tribute, thing before a show, because I don't think either Crash Holly or Umaga did. The later we kind of can guess why that was, but...
Well, Crash Holly and Umaga didn't get any kind of tributes. Viscera was still, you know, was at least given that, and that's pretty much what WWE is going to do for performers that have been with their company but are not with the company anymore. And either, you know, just way down on the indie circuit, or formally, completely retired. So, let me get some good news, because I don't want to go out on that. I'm not going out on that for sure. Oh, Chris?
Yes?
You must be the very proud individual, as somebody who is a longtime NXT fan, to see some of the first live content for the WWE Network being NXT's Arrival.
The first live streamed show that was not just past footage and was not a studio show. Yes, indeed, I am. I've only got one problem with it, because a lot of people had a certain problem, which I didn't, thankfully, but still. But it was great to see that, and it was great for them to see probably at least one of the best matches in the male side of the year, and probably what will be one of the best matches of the female side of the year on this show.
Now, I admit I had a little hiccup in my feed, but I personally think the timing of it was very good for me. Because it was essentially, I was getting hyped for a Tyler Breeze versus Xavier Woods, and the feed killed itself so that I didn't have to see Rusev killing them.
I thought you liked the big guys, though, Nikki.
Rusev's supposed to be this monster. No offense, but he looks worried whenever he comes out. He doesn't look mean. He looks worried.
He knows how WWE treats a lot of the badass monsters within a year of their debut.
Oh, no. And, you know, I understand, but I would have rather seen the Xavier Woods versus Tyler Breeze. I just feel better that my feed cut out so I didn't have to see that and start screaming at my screaming at my monitor. But the Cesaro Zane opener was a great way to launch it. It's not as good as the 2 out of 3 falls match.
Some would argue with you on that, but we'll go on.
I'm sorry, the 2 out of 3 falls match was spectacular. There was a lot of this match was still very good. I mean, comparing it to that 2 out of 3 falls match is a compliment in itself. And damn
plus
it,
that,
I, go ahead.
Plus that one uppercut when Zane dived through the ropes, tried to.
Yeah. I love that corner that I don't even know what to call it. It's a corner suicide dive where he essentially leaps through the ropes from the floor between the turnbuckles. Nobody does that. And this time, you know, Cesaro catches him with an uppercut. It was beautiful. There was a lot of pretty stuff in this match. I'm not dogging on this match by any means. It definitely got the crowd going. We got a look at the evil moon child, CJ Parker.
AKA Captain Planet.
Versus Captain Caffeine, Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
Because, no offense, but Mojo's hyperactivity is probably the only thing he's got going for him. I think if he stopped, he'd realize. A guy doing the rear view just is not gonna hype a crowd. Some people got their first exposure to the Ascension, and the fact that Conor O'Brien is no longer a rat.
Yeah,
that's one of Scott Steiner XP.
Him and Victor, you know, I really like their presence. I like what they're, you know, I like how they come across.
Don't like their new theme though.
Shrug.
Yeah.
Though I did my jaw did drop though when they decided to put him up against Too Cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Although Scotty's hair decided to not to show up this time.
And was that Grandmaster Sexay, or was that Jerry Lawler?
Yes. The correct answer is yes.
Yes.
Because he's looking more and more like his daddy every day.
Yeah, that wasn't Grandmaster Sexay and Scotty Too Hottie. That was Jerry the King Lawler and Christopher Daniels imitating Too Cool that night, it looked like.
But, you know, the crowd dug it, and, you know, the fact that Scotty's in his 40s and can still do the worm is crazy. The Paige Emma match is better than anything you're going to see in the current televised Divas division. Because Cameron.
And most of the men as well. My God, that was a beautiful match. Yes, it was a little rough at the start, but the moves they were pulling off, just insane, especially the finish.
Bola Kano is smiling in Japan seeing that finish.
She's smiling from heaven.
I thought Bull was still with us.
I thought we lost Bull Nakano.
No, we didn't. That's Erica Nakano, right? Bull.
Oh.
Yeah, she's retired. She owns her, I remember right, she owns Bull-chan, a diner in Tokyo.
Oh, Sumimasen. Sumimasen. Actually, the highlight of the match for me was the sit-out powerbomb.
Better than Batista.
Yes.
Thank you, NXT crowd. That was a hell of a crowd. Then the main event, as we mentioned earlier, we finally, in front of the largest audience that NXT has had since its original televised days, No Mo Bo.
Hallelujah.
Adrian Neville needs to be on my TV yesterday. And yes, I know I said... Go ahead.
I was going to say, it may not be the heavyweight championship, but at least somebody from the other side of the Atlantic, from the UK more specifically, gets to say they've held the top belt in WWE.
Exactly.
Which was much to... Much to William Regal's pride, it was fun listening to him at the announced position. It was him and Saxton, and not Riley, but the new guy, Tom Phillips.
Yeah.
Okay. And like as I knew Saxton was going to be good at the table, and Regal is just fun to listen to.
Pick the bloody ladder up, son.
Just, well, let's see, him Emma dancing, and they get it on camera.
The fact that he got married 12 times because he was addicted to wedding cake.
Wow.
Just some beautiful, beautiful stuff. The Neville-Bo Dallas ladder match was a little slower paced than what most people are used to. Somebody suggested it was more of an old school style, and it was probably helped from some booking from the man who helped bring the ladder match to the Fed, because this match was introduced by Shawn freaking Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
And if not him, the other guy that brought it to the Fed, but nobody saw it because it was a house show thing, who was part of the pre-show panel, Bret Hart, because he and Michaels had the first one and on a house show, and they had some in Canada, but first.
Right. Leading up to the show, they had Renee Young at a table with Bret, Kevin Nash, and my dear Uncle Paul, who decided to just see how good she was at recovering from getting thrown a curveball. But then she should know better than to call my uncle one of the best managers. He called her out on that, and she said, okay. She backed off, and she says, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, the best manager in the wrestling business. Renee, we're live.
Hello.
Now I want to see the footage that Kevin Nash was talking about, where he was doing like a 1080 diving
bomb. 1190. I forget what the final thing was, but the rotation was 1190, and I'm like, okay, yeah.
X Division Nash is just a thing of beauty.
So, you know, this was to show how important it was to the WWE about how this was going off. They did video packages showing guys that had been playing around in NXT and are now, you know, now gracing our televisions. They did a miniature, they gave us a capsule tour of the Performance Center. We saw Hunter open the show, introduced the, you know, introduced the world in at large to NXT. Ric Flair was in the crowd with his daughter Charlotte. John Cena was there, and Ricardo was sitting next to him, but most people didn't notice that. Dusty Rhodes and Pat Patterson were sitting together.
Patterson's a doofus, by the way, with stealing Dusty's hat.
Actually, he looked decent in a cowboy hat. And somewhere JBL is probably cussing up a storm for me saying that. But JBL was at least there in video form. Stephanie McMahon came out and introduced the NXT women's match and schooled the entire crowd when they erupted in a "You Still Got It" chant, and she just smiled and she said, "No, because I never lost it."
The time when she was recovering from her daughter's pregnancies, well, never mind.
No, she just, you know, she just got herself back, and she would, as after she had her kids, she would just get herself back in shape.
Yeah, I was thinking probably would have been like a few minutes later. She's got like exercise equipment in the hospital room.
See, I picture the evil doc walking into the hospital with resistance bands to at least give her something to do after the birth.
Yeah.
It's sad that I can see this. But yes, now with the network properly launched, it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the WWE does from here, because, oh, by the way, we still don't know who's getting their TV stuff. NBC Universal hasn't committed, and I haven't heard any other bids.
I'm thinking Spike looks like they're seeing a profit, or at least possible profit, from TNA, so I don't think they're going to risk that right now.
No, they probably won't. Fox might look at it, and they would have a liaison in JR.
Yeah.
No, that could work. That could work either way. But that's something we still got to keep an eye on. So, the other thing we got to keep an eye on is that we are, you know, we're counting down to Raw is Chicago.
Oh, boy.
The first Raw in Chicago sans CM Punk in several years. Jason will hate me for this, but Chicago rivals New York in its smark. This is a hot crowd even without having a Chicago native. Ask Chris Jericho, who got the debut in front of them. I mentioned briefly before the break about the Twitter account at Chicago Raw Crowd. Stat Boy, do you think this is going to be a successful hijacking?
I hope not. Main reason I'm saying this is because, well, there's been a thing pretty much for like the last year, ever since that Raw after WrestleMania 29, that it just seems to be the fans just out for themselves, not caring about that in-ring product. This is going to be a nasty culmination of that if anything like that happens, and if it does, oh, God, it's going to be terrible from here on, because the fans will be wanting to, you know, get themselves over.
Fourth, given the climate that we've got going into this thing, the Wyatt Shield rematch is a nice little, lollipop to dangle at the crowd, but what are you going to do with the other 2.5 hours of the show?
Probably find a bomb shelter and hide for a while.
That's what I'm worried about. Chris, just, you know, what would happen? Would there be anything left of this building if CM Punk magically reappeared?
There would be a news story the next morning. Thousands of wrestling fans cause, what's the Chicago Arena's name again?
Allstate Arena.
The Allstate Arena to implode on themselves with their very own voices.
Because, you know, that would be the best case scenario. But
With CM Punk returning is where do they put him now that Brian's getting the Triple H thing?
See, that's the thing. Then, you know, I just get this image of Punk and Brian arguing over who gets to fight Triple H. But as we, you know, as we've seen and as, you know, we've heard that, you know, unless this is the most elaborate work in the world of work, you know, Punk's done. So Brian is in that spot. And if Punk did come back, you're right. Where would we put him? Taker's booked, the title match is booked, although admittedly put throwing Punk in the middle of that title match would probably save it.
The only other thing I can see is them adding him to like the Cena thing, but he's already had his thing with the Wyatts too.
Right. So I don't know, man. I'm just putting it out there. I don't think he's gonna show up. I think Punk has got his feet up, you know. Essentially saying, I tried. Because, you know, one day, many, many moons ago, he said, I can't create change just sitting on my couch. I have a feeling right now it's more, I tried, you're not listening. This pisses me off. I'm not going to work in this kind of environment. Selfish? Probably. So, I think I'm going to call it a show. Chris, do you have something to promote?
Well, I do have my site, which I still haven't updated yet. Work has been killing me, as I've told you on various chats. Yeah, when you have two jobs, 60-hour work weeks are pretty much a norm during the season down here in Florida. But I will plug my site anyway, mrcmwaters.blogspot.com. I do have stuff planned. I am trying desperately to get something up by the end of March. I do have plans for various things. The problem is getting time to actually work on them, and when I do have time, not being sick to not being able to work on them, like I am right now.
But thank you for getting it out for my show.
No problem. And I'm thankful for my gut not coming out during your show.
I would hope you mute before that would happen. Otherwise, there would be a lot more guts going on here.
You didn't want me to imitate Darren Drozdov on the show? No.
No.
He's gonna puke!
Stepboy, do you have something else to promote besides Vomitus?
Outside of that thing coming up on May 25th, you know, Chikara's return, thank God, which I may or may not be going to. I'm not fully sure yet. No.
Okay. Fourth, I know you... There's something you could promote, but you don't have to.
Yeah, I was going to say, other than Typo Show, which is on Tuesdays, and VRM Show, which I don't know if he's recording at the moment or if he's going to do that in the near future. I do want to say a thank you and a goodbye to Mr. Harold Ramis for many classic films through the years.
There you go. Yes, thank you, Egon. And for the man who predicted 20 years ago that print is indeed dead. This was before the internet, ladies and gentlemen. And actually, I'm going to be nice. Jason, unmute, because I know you've got a whole bunch of stuff you could promote for us.
Oh, I would love to, actually. And just to let you know, I'm in my red state, blue state studio preparing for this week's episode, and boy, howdy, do we have a lot. The world is really going to hell in a handbasket. See, Ukraine and Venezuela. And combine that with the defense secretary basically saying, we need to cut troops 100,000. Oh, and Harry Reid basically saying that everybody who has given the horror stories about Obamacare is a lying sack of crap, which is not true. But we'll get to more about that. Our sound engineer, Jim Williams, will hopefully have another episode of Touch 'Em All before Pitchers and Catchers happening. And I believe we're going to have the second annual Touch 'Em All Fantasy League for baseball here. Brian and I, Brian Henniger, the chair swinging freak, will hopefully get another episode of Pixel Nation up. We took off last week due to circumstances beyond our control. And I believe all that is it for now. For, of course, all the programs you could hear on CLW83, you could do it at CLW83.com. There you go.
The only thing I have to promote is that, indeed, I am going to be braving the roads tomorrow to go to Cedar Rapids to attend an event. I have had an invitation to go to Moline, Illinois, but I don't think the weather is going to allow it. But I plan at least on getting in a house show this weekend.
Yeah, be safe on the roads out there.
And yeah. And I this goes to for anybody else who is going to be traveling to Cedar Rapids, who might be going to the Moline show on Sunday or the other show in Bloomington, Illinois. Please be careful. This is where that blizzard belt is going through. I'm not going to call it by name because calling winter storms by names is stupid.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
So, yes, be careful. Be safe. And if I miss you on the road, don't panic. Every road intersects twice. So, for Jason Block, for Chris Waters, for Staff Boy Josh Henniger, and for Forth, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do come and check back with us, or we will have more news and nonsense.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.